This is Positive IQ. I'm Penny Ward, and this podcast explores how we stay steady, clear, and well in a world that keeps shifting and changing. Here we talk about the real experience of navigating change, the load it creates, the resilience it requires, and the capacity it drains. We look at what's happening in the brain, the body, and in everyday behavior, and what helps us to lead ourselves and others with more clarity, calm, and confidence. Each episode offers simple insights, practical tools, and grounded conversations to help you move through change without sacrificing your well-being. If you're navigating complexity, rebuilding your capacity, or rising to a new chapter, you are in the right place. Before we begin, I want to invite you to slow this moment down. Not to analyze, not to problem solve, not to immediately apply anything, just to arrive. If you're listening to this while moving through your day, driving, walking, transitioning between meetings, or sitting quietly, notice what it took for you to press play. Because people who arrive here are rarely struggling in obvious ways. They're usually capable, committed, responsible, often deeply trusted by others, and yet something has shifted. If you are here, there is a good chance you are still functioning, but functioning has started to feel heavier than it used to be. This conversation is for that moment. Many women leaders describe this quietly. They say things like, "I don't recover the way that I used to. I'm doing all the right things, so why do I feel so depleted?" What's important here is nothing has necessarily gone wrong. There has not been a dramatic breakdown, there may not have even been a clear trigger, but resilience, the ease with which you meet pressure and recover from it, feels less accessible. This session is about not diagnosing you, and it's not about telling you to rest more, slow down, or opt out. It's about understanding why resilience becomes harder to access precisely in people who are strong, conscientious, and capable. There is a paradox at the heart of modern leadership, particularly for women. The strategies that help you cope in the short term are often the same strategies that erode your resilience in the long term. Things like pushing through, holding it together, being emotionally available, staying composed, absorbing pressure so that others don't have to. These behaviors are not weaknesses. They are actually adaptations. They are intelligent responses to responsibility, expectation, and complexity. But over time, when they're not balanced with recovery, regulation, and restoration, they quietly drain the systems that resilience depends on. This is what we call the rest resilience paradox. For women, leadership often comes with additional invisible layers of load. Not because women are less resilient, but because the context demands more regulation. Women are more likely to manage emotional climates, anticipate relational impacts, smooth complexity, carry unspoken responsibility, monitor how they've perceived when leading. This means many women don't just do leadership, they hold leadership. And holding takes energy. And when that energy is not restored, resilience doesn't disappear. It becomes harder to access. One of the most common internal stories women tell themselves is, "I should be coping better." But what is often happening is not a failure of coping. Rather, it's the accumulation of load. And load looks like constant decision-making, emotional availability without pause, responsibility without recovery, being relied on across multiple domains, work and life. None of this feels dramatic, but it's cumulative. And when load exceeds capacity for long enough, the nervous system adapts by tightening. You're still capable. You're still reliable. You're still delivering. But the margin disappears. This is where many women misinterpret what's happening. They assume, I'm losing confidence. I'm not as resilient as what I used to be. Something must be wrong with me. But here is the key distinction. Your capability remains intact. Your capacity is being exceeded. Capability is what you know how to do, and capacity is how much you can hold, regulate, and recover from. Resilience lives in capacity, not capability, and capacity is not infinite. Under sustained pressure, the brain prioritizes protection over flexibility, and this often shows up as faster decisions, narrowed focus, low tolerance for ambiguity, emotional reactivity, reduced access to perspective and creativity. Now, this is not failure, it's a protective response, but it's not the state from which wise leadership, grounded confidence, or strategic thinking are best sustained. Most women do not burn out suddenly. They thin out slowly. Pushing through. Hey, look, it's not bad advice, but it's actually incomplete advice. In short bursts, it's adaptive, but in prolonged cycles, it can become corrosive. Many women start to notice that rest no longer restores them. Recovery takes longer. Steadiness feels harder to maintain. And confidence feels less embodied. This doesn't mean resilience is gone. It means the inputs that generate resilience have been neglected. In many leadership cultures, rest is misunderstood as time off, disengaging, something earned after output. But rest in this context is not absence, it's active restoration. And rest is what allows the nervous system to regulate, emotional steadiness, clarity of your inner voice, and sustainable action. Without rest, resilience becomes something you perform rather than experience. So before we talk about strategies, habits, or action, the most important question becomes this. Where is your system being drained? And where is it being restored? Now, this is not a moral question. It's actually a structured one. And it's the question that allows women leaders to stop blaming themselves and start understanding themselves. That's where we go next. So think about these questions before you move into the next session. You might like to take out a journal, write some things down, make some notes. Before you begin, take a moment to pause. You're not looking for perfect answers, you're noticing patterns. Let yourself respond honestly, not how you should feel, but how things are right now. Question 1. Where in my life am I compensating with effort rather than recovery? Consider the areas where you rely on pushing, managing, or holding things together to keep moving. You might reflect on your work responsibilities that require constant vigilance, emotional labor that you carry for others, roles where you feel you cannot slow down or step back, moments where you feel rest feels like something to be earned. Notice where the effort has come as the default response when capacity is low. ask yourself gently, what would recovery look like here if it were allowed? What would change if effort was not the only option? Question 2. What invisible forms of holding am I carrying right now? Much of what drains resilience is rarely acknowledged. Reflect on the emotional climates you manage, uncertainty you contain for others, decisions you hold without being able to share them, responsibility that goes unnamed, unnoticed. Start to notice where you are holding more than it is visible, even to you, and ask yourself, who relies on me to be steady? What would it mean to acknowledge this holding without judging? Question 3. What signals tell me my capacity is being exceeded? Capacity often speaks quietly before it collapses. Pay attention to physical signals such as fatigue, tension, or restlessness. Emotional signals like irritability, flatness, or withdrawal. Cognitive signals such as reduced clarity, rumination, or decision fatigue. Rather than pushing these signals away, consider, when did I last notice these signs? What happens when I ignore them? What do they ask of me instead? Question 4. Which push-through behaviors once served me and now cost me? Many strategies that supported you earlier in your life or career may no longer fit your current context. Reflect on habits of overfunctioning, overcommitting, staying composed at a personal cost, taking responsibility to avoid burdening others, equating resilience with endurance. Ask yourself, when did this behavior help me succeed? What is it costing me now? And what might replace it, not with weakness, but with wisdom? Question 5. If resilience is an outcome, what conditions have been missing lately? Instead of asking, why can't I cope, shift the question. Consider things like, where has recovery been squeezed out of your day or your week? What rhythms and routines have been lost? Which forms of rest are absent or under-supported? And what does my system need more of, not less? Notice how this question changes the tone of your inner dialogue. So, in closing, as you come to the end of these reflections, pause again. Nothing requires immediate action. Nothing needs to be fixed today. This first session was about recognition, not resolution. Simply noticing where your resilience has been stretched without judgment is already a form of restoration. Carry one insight with you into the coming days, not as a task, but as a companion. And remember, you are not less resilient than you were before. Your system has been carrying more than it was designed to hold without enough restoration. In the next session, we'll gently map where that capacity is being shaped, strained, or supported. For now, let this be enough. Thank Thank you for joining me on Positive IQ. I hope today's conversation offered you a moment of insight, a shift in intention, or perhaps something that supports the impact you want to make in leadership and life. If this resonated, please subscribe, share it, or leave a review so that more women and leaders can find these conversations. You'll find more tools and reflections at Positive IQ or on Substack. Until next time, stay steady, stay curious, and honor your capacity.